digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Has Bauer arrived at CTU?
No, not yet.
I need you to clear an entrance.
Why are you tracking Jack Bauer? What the hell's going on here, Spencer?
I was following orders. I'm sure if they're tracking Jack Bauer, they have a reason.
This man is a professional assassin. He just killed Dr. Paulson. He tried to kill me. Did you let him into CTU?
They told me he was here to place a tap on one of the servers. That's all I knew.
Who told you?
The White House. Mr. Cummings.
David Plummer was murdered because he was about to expose Walt Cummings' connection to the terrorists. You want the nerve gas? Cummings is your connection.
Cummings is the president's chief advisor. How exactly do you suggest we get to him?
I could secretly meet with Mike Novick.
Who did you tell? Who did you tell?
I didn't tell anybody, Jack!
Hey, let's stand down!
I'm sorry, sir, we
can't
do that.
Put your hands in the air! Jack.
Syntox gas is being smuggled out of the country by separatists who think they're going to use it against the Russians. However, that nerve gas will never reach Russian soil.
And you know this how?
We control the remote detonators on those gas canisters. As soon as they reach the terrorist base, we'll trigger the canisters by satellite and release the gas.
You're a traitor.
You'll let things play out as they are. Otherwise, your administration will be implicated. And your presidency will be destroyed.
Mr. President, my name is Jack Bauer, and I'm sorry to have to confront you like this. But your chief of staff is withholding information that is vital to this nation's security.
Stop this!
I'm done talking with you, you understand me? So for the last time, where is the nerve gas?
Stop! 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 I'll tell you! It's on the freighter leaving the port of Long Beach at 2:30.
CTU, we've located the target container. No hostiles present.
You have a green light. Take possession of the canisters.
Open them up, let's go, open them all up! Empty, next, moving on. What do we got? Nothing?
There are no gas canisters here, CTU. The nerve gas is not here.
Where are the canisters?
I've told you everything.
We know you've altered the arming codes, Mr. Cummings.
Ulrich, listen. We can negotiate something.
I don't negotiate with my enemies. I eliminate them.
Your country is about to pay a very steep price for betraying us.
The following takes place between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m.
I was approached 6 months ago by a man named James Nathanson. He was my contact.
Who is he?
Former CIA. Said he was recruiting like-minded individuals for this initiative.
Initiative? Is that what you call this?
You helped terrorists acquire weaponized nerve gas!
I told you we were going to trigger the canisters once the separatists reached their base in Central Asia. This was not supposed to happen.
But it happened! You got into bed with these people, and now they're threatening to use the gas on American citizens!
Oh, you make it sound like our goal was to kill Americans.
What the hell was your goal, Walt? Explain that to me.
We're patriots, Mr. President. We're acting in the best interest of this country.
How is any of this in our best interest?
Shoring up a strategic partner in the war on terror? Ensuring a stable flow of oil? How is any of that not in our national interest?
I have Chloe O'Brien on the line for Jack Bauer.
Chloe, are you set up for the trace?
All set, Jack.
We're ready to call Nathanson.
How long do I have to keep him on the line?
Until I give you a signal. Chloe, dial the number.
The line's been disconnected, Jack. There's nothing to grab onto.
He must know something went wrong. He's gone dark.
Damn it, Walt!
I don't want this weapon deployed on U.S. soil any more than you do. Nathanson cannot help you now, and neither can I. These terrorists are operating on their own.
Jack scrutinizes Walt Cummings' face.
Mr. President, I think he's telling the truth. He can't help us, not anymore.
Logan eyes Cummings with distaste.
Aaron. Get him out of here.
Yes, sir.
Aaron Pierce leads the abject Cummings away. Logan looks on. Jack makes to leave.
Jack. What do we do now?
I need to be debriefed. After that, I'm leaving, sir. Given the current situation, things have become more complicated. CTU is going to have to be responsible for the retrieval of the canisters.
Why are you leaving?
Sir, I have a daughter that doesn't know that I'm still alive. If I have to disappear again, in all fairness to her, I don't think she should know.
Jack, terrorists just threatened to deploy chemical weapons on U.S. soil.
They have the ability to kill millions of people.
I understand that, Mr. President. I believe that CTU can handle this.
Jack, your experience can make a crucial difference in stopping them. Look, you and I have a complicated history. I realize that, and I'm not naive enough to expect any special personal allegiance from you. But I know your respect for this office and your concern for this country is just as strong as it was when you served under David Palmer. I'm asking for your help. Just until this crisis is over, I will reinstate you. I will give you all the support you need.
Mr. President, you and I...
Please, for God's sake, we need to recover this nerve gas before it's too late.
Jack, clearly under pressure, turns away from Logan and catches sight of the image of Ivan Erwich still on the screen.
The microcircuitry on this remote has been tampered with. As far as I can tell, unless we can repair it, we can't arm the canisters.
Rustler will have a way. We should have called by now.
Our real enemy is Russia. We should be figuring out another way to get back home, not wasting time trying to use the gas against the Americans.
Question my orders again, and I will kill you. Do you understand? They've closed the ports. They will hunt us until they find us. So if we cannot use the gas against Russia, we will use it against America. Get them.
Erwich turns and holsters his pistol. He is a small man, but seems to derive such energy from his pent-up rage as to be able to crush all opposition. At CTU, Lynn McGill exits the glass-fronted office.
Hello?
Lynn?
Jenny, now is a really bad time.
Yeah, I know you're busy, but I need to see you, please.
What is it?
I need some help.
You mean money?
Lynn, I'm clean. I'm working two jobs and busting my ass to put my life back together.
How much?
500. Can I come over there?
Absolutely not.
Why? Are you afraid I'll embarrass you?
Yeah, I am.
Lynn, I got nobody else to turn to. I can't go back on the street again. You know, if you don't help me, I swear I'm gonna hurt myself.
For God's sake, Lynn, I'm your sister.
All right, listen. Jenny, listen. There's a parking lot across the street from CTU. I'll meet you there in 20 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn.
Clean-cut Lynn hangs up on his down-at-heel sister, sighs, and proceeds on towards the briefing room. 108.
Numbers, we...
Sorry, I'm late.
I was just explaining that Cummings provided us with a schematic of one of the canisters. The triggering mechanisms on the canisters can only be activated via satellite relay. Cummings says the terrorists have been given invalid detonation codes.
Then these canisters are useless to them.
Unless they can find a way to control the triggering mechanism.
Are we running evacuation scenarios?
Evacuation isn't feasible. Not without a time frame or a target. Erwich's threat was intentionally vague.
Well, what are we doing to track these canisters?
Chloe?
I pulled a voice print from Erwich's call to Cummings, and I'm doing a scan of all SATCOM chatter.
If Erwich is in contact with anyone on that bandwidth, we should be able to intercept and trace the call.
Well, we better get lucky, because we just got a new assessment from Civil Defense. They're estimating that the nerve gas from each canister will create kill zones between 1 and 3 square miles. The terrorists are in possession of 20 canisters. We're talking about potential casualties in the hundreds of thousands, perhaps over a million.
End of part one. Part two, Erwich.
Yeah.
Ivan Erwich?
Go ahead.
Jacob Rossler. I was asked to call you by a friend in Moscow.
You've been briefed on our situation.
You need to reconfigure the remote trigger for an ATOX chemical delivery system, right?
Yes.
You have the canisters with you?
Yes.
You'll need to start by cutting into them. I'll give you the specifications.
Brian.
She's got a pattern match.
Send me the hit.
All interagency search protocols are being run through CTU. Ken, no one is going around you. All right, we'll make sure you're apprised in real time.
Audrey, I thought you should know. Logan has asked Jack to be reinstated on a provisional basis. He's been given full autonomy and access.
We've got a possible intercept on Erwich. This just happened.
On the inner casing, you will find a display window with a 7-digit readout. I'll need that.
And then what?
And then I will program a new chip for your remote trigger.
Put me through to Jack Bauer.
Yes, sir. Voice print is a 95% match. It's Erwick.
He was on a sat phone. I can't trace it, but the call originated from a landline downtown.
I have Jack Bauer for you, sir.
This is Bauer.
Jack, we may have a lead on Erwick.
I'm listening.
We intercepted a call between Erwick and an unknown associate. We weren't able to trace Erwick, but we may have a location for the associate. 22 North Figueroa, penthouse. Chloe, bring up the building manifest, see who's in there.
On it.
From what we heard, Erwick is trying to acquire some kind of activation code.
Yeah, he's trying to reconfigure the trigger mechanism so he can disperse the Centaux. Bill, we're running out of time.
Okay, the penthouse is leased to a man named Jacob Rossler, cross-checking. He's a software programmer indicted for high security code infiltration, identity theft, never convicted.
Okay, I'm gonna need schematics on the building and vectors for every entrance.
We'll have it for you by the time you get there.
Bill, we're gonna need to go in covertly. Have Curtis meet me at the location with a small team of four, but tell them to stay out of sight until I get there.
Right.
We'll be in touch. It's our new destination. I'll clear a landing zone for you.
Jack briefs his helicopter pilot.
Mr. Buchanan, this building's security system uses proprietary technology. It's a high-end platform that's a bitch to hack into, especially with the time constraints we're under.
So get Edgar to help you.
Spencer is better.
Chloe, absolutely out of the question.
Spencer can do this faster than Edgar and I put together. He wrote an infiltration code that took us 4 months to hack.
That's a bad idea.
Stay out of this, Edgar. He didn't know Cummings was dirty. His polygraph proved that.
He was spying on us. He was spying on you. He lied to you.
Sir, if you don't let Spencer help us do this, we're not going to get it done in time.
Bill deliberates.
He has to wear a security wristband and be under constant supervision.
Fine.
Chloe raises her eyebrows. Audrey sits at her workstation.
Audrey Raines.
Audrey, it's Jack.
Hey.
Listen, I wanted to tell you myself. The president asked me to stay on until the canisters were retrieved.
Jack, you know what this means. You'll be exposed. CTU can handle the crisis.
Audrey, the president thinks I can help.
Jack, you don't owe them this.
Listen, Audrey, the reason why I called, I need to ask you to do me a favor.
What?
Kim doesn't know I'm alive yet. I don't want her to find out the wrong way.
Do you want me to tell her?
No, I just want you to call her and bring her in to CTU. I'll see her when I get back.
All right.
Are you sure you're comfortable doing this for me?
Of course.
Thank you.
Sure.
A massive lorry, all gleaming white paint and polished chrome, turns off the road and onto a forecourt. A grungy mechanic talks on the phone, surrounded by semi-dismantled Harleys.
Yeah. Your swing arm needs to be replaced.
Erwig steps down from the cab of the lorry and walks into the mechanic's workshop.
475. Yeah, we're open till 5. Okie doke.
Help you?
Do you have some kind of precision tool for cutting metal?
Sure.
Where is everyone else?
Lunch. Why?
We need you to do some work for us, and we need it done fast. If you do it, you'll live. Do you understand?
Yeah. Yeah. Just take it easy. Get the canisters!
117. The canisters are unloaded from the truck.
Why haven't I gotten an update? Bauer left here on some sort of lead. Find out if CTU is any closer to recovering the nerve gas.
Yes, sir.
As Logan hangs up, he notices that Martha has wandered silently but purposefully into the office.
How are you feeling?
Remarkably well, for someone whose husband tried to have her committed without so much as a goodbye. I'm sorry. I didn't come here to fight with you.
You have every right to.
Two of us used to be a pretty good team. Remember? I was the one you would always come to first for advice.
I remember.
We've got to get back to that relationship, Charles. You're right, things are going to get rough for you. And you are going to need me and everything that I can give you.
I don't know what to say, Martin.
Don't you ever do that to me again.
Logan blinks in utter shock.
Mike, please, come in.
119.
Mr. President. Mrs. Logan.
Mike,
I owe you a profound apology.
You were in an impossible situation, sir. I understand why you did what you did.
No. I panicked, Mike. That's it. Plain and simple. I'm not proud of how I handle myself. I intend to make it right from this point on. I would like you to resume your duties.
Of course, sir.
Thank you, Mike. CTU is in the process of tracking down the canisters, but we still have to deal with the issue of Walt Cummings. It's all right, Mike. I would like Martha's input on this. So, what do we do about Walt? We can't detain him indefinitely.
Maybe not, but we can keep him out of sight long enough for us to construct a credible narrative.
Mike, are you talking about a cover-up?
I mean exercising discretion to spare this country unnecessary humiliation.
Walt Cummings was complicit in David Palmer's assassination. He has allowed these terrorists to get their hands on weaponized nerve gas that is, at
respect,
this point, a very real and present
with
threat.
Respect, Mrs. Logan, if we go public with Cummings, the president's reputation won't be the only casualty. The credibility of this office will be destroyed.
Charles, you are going to take a hit on this, but it won't destroy you. You did nothing wrong except to trust someone who betrayed you. You are human.
You might be overestimating the public's capacity for forgiveness.
No, I'm not. The only thing they won't forgive is being lied to. I think you should issue a statement to the press, and the sooner the better.
I agree. Why don't you and I work on it together and see what we come up with?
Okay.
Martha and Logan share a complicit smile. Mike looks on gravely. Spencer is escorted back into CTU.
Chloe.
Go to Station 3. We don't have much time.
Thanks for getting me reinstated.
I only did it because I need your help getting Jack through the high-security building, not because I forgive you, because I don't. Have a seat. We need to gain access to the security server at 22 North Figueroa. It's a proprietary network, so get to work.
Chloe, I swear I thought I was following the
president's
orders.
I don't care, Spencer.
Spencer winces at Chloe's harshness, but gets down to work. 122. A blue helicopter descends from a cloudy sky down towards a rooftop helipad. Curtis stands waiting for it to touch down. The helicopter lands neatly within the painted circle. Jack opens the side door and climbs out. Curtis approaches.
The building's security protocols.
What are you talking about? Spencer's under arrest.
Buchanan released him from holding.
Fine, just give me Rossler's position.
I've hacked into the building's motion sensors. According to them, Rossler is still in the penthouse. I have two guards on the penthouse level.
What about the ground level entrance?
I have one guard, three surveillance cameras.
Okay, stand by to take out all security cameras that are covering the front desk and the elevators.
I can only shut them down for 60 seconds. After that, they will reboot automatically. That's as long as you have to subdue the lobby guard.
Copy that. Teams A and B, you'll remain in a holding position till you get a go. We are 1 minute out. We have to cross the street to get to Rossler's building.
Jack and Curtis get into a lift. At the bike mechanic's workshop.
We're ready to cut into the canisters.
You have to cut precisely 10 centimeters from the bottom of the casing to reveal the trigger.
How thick is the outer casing?
5 millimeters. Call me with the ID numbers when you're done.
Erwich hangs up. The sinister canisters sit on the workshop floor. 124, Jack and Curtis jog purposefully along a sidewalk and into a doorway. A security man stands behind a lobby reception desk. Jack and Curtis stop before a closed door.
We're in position, we're set, we're ready to go.
Just a few more seconds to access control. Okay, here we go, Jack. On my mark. Camera's done.
Federal agent, let me see your hands! Let me see your hands!
Elevator code, let's have it.
4073 pound.
Unit 1 status check, just lost cameras A and C.
You tell me you don't know why the cameras went down, but everything is okay. Everything is okay.
Base, status check blue. Don't know why the cameras are out. Everything's fine down here.
Back up to me. Back up to me. Where are the elevators?
The elevator's almost there. You have 2 floors to go.
The camera reboots in 10 seconds. Then you'll be visible.
Jack and Curtis hustle the security man into the lift. The doors seem to take forever to close, but do so just before the CCTV reboots. The security coordinator looks at his monitor screen, which now shows the deserted lobby.
Unit 1, status check. Where are you?
You tell him you had to use the men's room.
Base headed to the men's room.
Jack knocks out the guard. The coordinator up in the penthouse turns to his colleague.
Something's wrong.
Yes?
Mr. Rosler, we may have a situation.
What kind of situation?
I'm not sure. Please remain in your office until you get the all clear.
The guards look suspicious. One of them has an automatic weapon.
Copy that. Federal agent!
Curtis takes a bullet.
You okay?
Yeah! Go ahead. He hit my vest.
Rosler's on the move.
Where is he?
9 o'clock.
Jack goes off in pursuit of Rosler, who is now armed. He kicks in a double door and then with lightning reflexes takes aim and shoots, hitting his quarry.
Federal agent, drop the weapon! Drop the weapon! Put your hand behind your head! Do it! Interlock your fingers. Rosler is in custody. I repeat, Rosler is in custody. All backup teams move in. I need a medic.
I'm patching you into the situation.
Someone else is in the penthouse, Jack.
In the bedroom, to your right, north side.
Curtis, cover him.
I got him.
Jack raises his pistol and kicks through the double doors to the bedroom. Nobody is visible.
Let me see your hands! Let me see your hands!
Don't shoot.
Who are you?
I'm Inessa.
Who did that to you?
You are the police.
Counter-terrorist unit in Los Angeles.
He is holding me here.
The girl holds her hands up. Tears streak her face.
I want to go home.
Jack looks compassionately at the skinny girl. 1:27, end of part 2. Part 3, 1:32.
You need to cut into the outer casing exactly 10 centimeters from the bottom. The casing is 5 millimeters thick. You cannot puncture the inner lining.
What's in these things?
Do not worry. Just do what I say.
Can't you tell me what this is all about?
You have a family, Cal?
A wife.
My wife is in prison. She's been there for 7 years. Her only crime was to support me while I fought for my country. My son lives in a state-run facility. Does not even remember what I look like. You want to know what this is about? It's about justice. It's about ending tyranny. When you're finished, we will leave.
You won't hurt me.
You're not my enemy. Your government is my enemy. Hey, you have my word.
Erwig gives the mechanic a comforting pat on the shoulder.
Begin.
The mechanic dons goggles and throws a switch. He turns a calibrating handle and adjusts the blade of the angle grinder. Sparks start to fly from the metal casing of the canister. At Rossler's, Jack escorts Inessa, 134.
It's all right. Safe now. Why don't you get a medic, have a look at her. Get her information. I want CTU to run a full background check. I don't mind that they've dressed his wound, but make sure they don't give him anything for the pain. Yes, sir.
Jack looks down scornfully at Rossler's prone body.
Curtis, put him in a chair.
All right, let's go. Get him up.
Members of the SWAT team hoist Rossler up onto his feet. Jack moves over to where Rossler is now slumped in a chair.
My name is Jack Bauer. I'm with CTU.
25 minutes ago, you contacted a man named Ivan Erwick. What did he want you to do for him?
I want my lawyer.
You'll get a lawyer as soon as I get what I need. Mr. Erwick is in possession of 20 canisters of Centox VX nerve gas, which he has threatened to deploy here in the United States.
I guess you have a problem.
So you have a problem. You've been conspiring with and aiding a known terrorist, which means I get to hold you for as long as I want. Now, we know Mr. Erwick can't deploy the canisters unless he reconfigures the trigger mechanism. Is that what he wanted you to do? Trust me. You don't want to go down this road with me. Go to hell. Exactly where I'm gonna send you unless you start to cooperate.
The girl looks on, seemingly in shock.
You like hurting girls? Curtis! By the time I'm finished with you, you're gonna wish you felt this good again. Where is Erwick?
I want full immunity, unfreezing of all my assets, and transport to a foreign country of my choosing.
No.
And Inessa. She comes with me. That's the deal.
Maybe I'm not making myself clear. We're not making a deal. Curtis.
Curtis again applies his shoe to Rossler's wounded leg. Audrey and McGill listen in at CTU.
Jack, it's Lynn.
Go ahead.
We don't have the luxury to engage in brinksmanship.
He's gonna tell us what we want to know.
Well, you may be right, but we're not gonna wait around to find out. Accept the deal.
That's an order.
Fine, that's your call.
We're signing off. Make sure he follows through. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Audrey looks at Bill Buchanan in disbelief. Bill throws his pencil onto the table in disgust. Jack returns to where Rossler sits. He casts a look at the distraught girl and then unwillingly turns back to face Rossler.
I've been instructed to accept your proposal.
A certified agreement signed by the Attorney General. I see that. I'll tell you what you want. And remember, I want Inessa.
1:43. Erwick oversees the cutting of the canisters. Inessa sits hopelessly on the couch.
Your immunity agreement's being drawn up. Now I want something. Where's Erwick?
I have no idea. I don't know the man. Not even what he looks like. I first spoke with him 30 minutes ago. We were put in contact through a mutual associate in Russia.
Who?
Sergei Voronov. He's a commander in the resistance movement.
What's Erwick want?
He wants to reprogram the chip of that trigger. He's calling me back with the identification keys.
What's your time frame?
Within the hour.
How is he going to receive the package?
I was going to deliver it. We haven't agreed on a meeting place.
I want that ship.
It's in a safe place. Once I see some paperwork, I'm sure I'd do.
Jack turns away and speaks confidentially to Curtis.
I want you to be ready to fit that ship with a transponder so we can track it.
Jack flips open his mobile. At CTU, Bill comes downstairs.
Buchanan.
Bill, it's Jack. Where are we with Rossler's immunity agreement?
We have the Attorney General's sanction. You should have the documents in a few minutes.
Okay, good. Do we get any information on the girl?
There isn't much. Inessa Kovalevsky, reported missing 19 months ago from Kiev. The assumption is she was kidnapped by traffickers in the sex slave trade. She's 15, Jack.
15?
Inessa looks fearful. She has a terrible bruise on her forehead.
Okay, thanks for looking.
Jack shuts his mobile and looks down at the floor. His mind seems to be working intensely. He throws a look towards Inessa, where she sits on a sofa with her back towards him. He then moves over to Rossler.
You can't take the girl.
Then you don't have a deal.
You'll have your immunity, your freedom. Leave the girl out of this. No.
Inessa is all I care about. She comes with me. Or you'll lose Erwick.
Jack looks down and then across to the tear-stained face of Inessa. At CTU, Chloe walks purposefully towards where Spencer sits at his workstation. She seems to be psyching herself up.
I've almost finished compiling the surveillance protocols.
Whatever you have, port it over to Edgar's station.
Why?
He'll be finishing that task.
Fine. Chloe, don't you understand?
I know.
I bet you do.
You don't work here anymore, Spencer. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
What?
Your reinstatement was temporary, just until we got Rossler into custody.
But there's still a lot of stuff that has to be done here.
We pulled people from division. We don't need you anymore. These men will escort you out.
Chloe withdraws to a distance and hunches nervously with her hand to her mouth as two security guards escort Spencer away. His expression is quite inscrutable as he passes close by her. She, on the other hand, seems to be suffering torments of guilt.
I know that was hard, but you did the right thing.
Shut up, Edgar.
Edgar watches her go and then allows a satisfied smile to spread across his face.
You're right, we don't need that. All right. Okay. I promise a full and open inquiry into this matter. I will not rest until I've restored the faith that you have placed in this office, and I can demonstrate to you, the American people, that I bear its mantle of responsibility with respect and deep humility. See, this way, you're assuming responsibility for Walt's actions, but you're also personally taking the initiative to bring him to justice.
Well, I'd like to run it by Mike, but I think it works.
I think it's the right move, Charles.
146.
Thank you for letting me help you.
I'm glad to have your help. It's been a long time since you and I have worked together like this.
Yes.
Mr. President, Mike.
What is it, Mike?
I think you should come here. I'm in the West hallway.
What's going on?
Just come here, sir.
I'm on my way.
Mike looks grim. Erwick and his fellow terrorists look on as the mechanic works at the canisters. The mechanic switches off the angle grinder. Erwick moves in and carefully removes the inverted base of the canister, which is now cleanly cut away. The base remains attached to the body of the canister by means of a twisted coil of cables in multicolored insulation. Erwick looks inside the device to discover a red liquid crystal display reading 1431263.
Good.
Logan and Martha move slowly down a corridor. Their faces are set in horror. Mike turns as they approach and looks back over his shoulder to where a door swings open to fully reveal Walt Cummings hanging by his neck from a ceiling light fitment.
Cut him down.
Mike looks grimly back towards the President and the First Lady, who are incapable of speech. Agents gently lower Walt's body to the floor.
Mr.
148, end of part 3. Part 4, 152. Lynn McGill walks purposefully through some kind of service area and parking lot behind a building. He looks around and then at his watch. His sister Jenny, stick-thin in spiky blonde hair and a miniskirt, strides around the corner.
Thanks for meeting me. You got the money?
Jenny, I'm not here to bring you money. Here's the name of a doctor. He's a good man. I want you to call him. I'll pay all the expenses. It won't cost you a cent. We'll call him together.
I can't.
Lynn is attacked from behind by a man in a black leather jacket who then proceeds to frisk him for his wallet and cards.
Hurry up.
Let's go.
I'm so sorry, Lynn.
Come on!
Go.
Jenny is hustled away by the man in the leather jacket who is acting like her pimp. Lynn struggles painfully to his feet. He looks towards where the sound of the motorbike is receding. 154, Curtis to Jack.
Russell's been given a shot for the pain. We have air and land pursuit units on standby. As soon as he moves out, we'll be ready.
No one's going anywhere unless Erwick makes that call. Stand by the phones. Excuse me.
Jack moves off into Rossler's main room as he pulls out his phone and dials. He runs his fingers through his hair distractedly as he waits for a reply.
Audrey Raines.
It's me.
Hey.
Did you manage to get a hold of Kim?
No. I tried her, but she wasn't in. I left a message.
Would you mind trying again for me, please?
Of course.
Okay, thanks.
Jack hangs up. His face registers a cocktail of powerful emotions. As he turns back, he finds himself confronted by Inessa.
I want to contact my family. They must be so worried about me.
I need to explain something to you first. Please, sit down.
Jack gently ushers the girl to a chair. She sits. He kneels in front of her, seemingly at a loss how to begin.
For now, we need you to go with Mr. Rossler. Just for now. Men like me, agents, are going to follow you. And when we get what we need from Mr. Rossler, they're going to move in, and they're going to take you away from him.
You don't know what he does to me when we are alone.
I promise you, I won't let him be alone with you.
I don't believe you.
Please.
I won't do it.
Please.
Let me go. Please.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Then you are no different than Rossler.
I am not Rossler.
She looks him in the eyes and then silently nods.
Thank you.
Jack withdraws to the doorway. She stands, looking mournfully at him. She begins to untie her robe. Jack shuts the door. The mechanic finishes another canister and turns off the machine. Erwick touches him on the shoulder. The man turns to face the barrel of Erwick's pistol. Erwick shoots the man in the heart and then puts his pistol back into its holster. His face registers not the slightest trace of emotion. 157. One of Erwick's colleagues takes down what appears to be the last of the canisters from the machine. He removes the base and adds the LCD code number to the list of other numbers he has already keyed into his BlackBerry.
That's it. Load the canisters. Get rid of the body.
Erwick's men set about obeying his orders, one busying himself with the canisters while another goes over to pull up the steel door of the workshop. Erwick gets out the satellite phone and dials.
this?
We have the identification keys. I'm messaging them to you now.
I've got them.
How long will it take you to reprogram the chip and deliver it back to us?
I'll be ready in 10 minutes. You and I need a place where we can meet.
You're coming personally?
Unless you have someone who can install and program an encoded binary chip.
I'll call you back in 5 minutes with the location.
I'll be here.
Get him set up for a wire. I'll get the girl.
Yes, sir. Mr. Ross, in a minute, we're going to be implanting the transmitter.
Jack fetches Inessa.
We're ready to go. It's going to be fine.
Jack escorts Inessa back into the main room. Rossler seems to catch her eye as she emerges. Erwick's men hide the mechanic's body and move out of the workshop.
Let's go.
Curtis comes back into the main room and approaches Jack.
What's happening? We couldn't complete the trace, but we have narrowed down to a 10-block radius. Okay, thanks.
Inessa shoots Rossler.
No! 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 Hold your fire!
Get a medic in here, now!
Vanessa, give me the gun. I know you don't want to hurt anybody else.
Jack disarms her.
Is he gonna make it?
No. He's dead. Rossler was our only link to those canisters. Herbert's gonna call here any minute. When he's gone, I expect to talk to him.
2 p.m., the end.